All right, here we go.
Are we playing? We're recording?
Yeah, we're playing.
Oh, shit.
We're in the game. We in the game, baby.
Bro, there's a song. I can't think of what it is. Sorry.
Nah.
It's like I think it's a Nelly song. Nah, it's not Nelly. It's like YM. I don't know. Anyways.
You all over the place.
Yeah, I know. But anyways, he starts a song off. He goes, oh, shit, this bitch recording? Motherfucker, you're in the studio. Of course it's recording. You knew that.
You know, my favorite is like when Lil Wayne lights up the joint where he's like.
Yeah.
Like that's his signature, you know, like bitch, you knew to smoke before you walked in here, right?
Yeah. You know, I heard that he don't write lyrics down.
That's a freestyler.
He says he freestyles every song. And then he said like whenever he does a concert, somebody has to go back and listen to the song and write down the lyrics so he knows what they are.
So he can read what he wrote down.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard him like doing interviews where people are like they record or they like show him a recording of his rap. And he's like, damn, that's fire. And they're like, that's you. And he's like, that's me?
Yeah.
Oh, I snapped on that one. Because they're just reading back the lyrics, you know?
Yeah, I seen one. Yeah, they wrote back lyrics. He's like, damn, dude, that's just like, who done that? 2 Chainz? He's like, no, you done that. He goes, oh, shit, for real? Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
I got some fire shit.
Yeah. I guess I am him. Damn.
Yeah. I've been him, huh? That's crazy you say that.
That's pretty impressive. That's like a
legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's legendary. Especially just like for you to spit bars like that and just have no idea. Like just gold. Dropping
just
gold.
Just lose it.
Yep.
Just I forgot.
Yep.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, damn. I did write that back.
Oh, right that now. One went triple platinum? I forgot. I even know that one.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you think like, you know, a lot of really good rappers or a lot of really good anything, like eventually, right? Like you think you got to run out of said talent. Like, it just, the river runs dry eventually,
you know,
right?
A lot of people, they don't be writing their own shit, you know?
I think Wayne does.
I don't think Wayne writes. I think he just goes in there and spits.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think, but there's only so much you can spit before you've said it all.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like eventually you're just like, yeah, all right, that's good. I think it's probably like you seen, like, he went through, like, his rock phase and shit. Yeah. Like, you just, like, there's nothing else to rap about. I did that, beat that.
He went through his rock phase. He had his little skateboarding phase.
Yeah, you know, yeah, the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what's crazy though? Like, who do you think out of like anybody, like most number one hits?
Eminem.
No.
No.
George Strait.
Okay, I can see that too.
Like, by fucking mile.
Yeah, I can see that too. Okay, but these, well, I mean, even now they still ring true. It's hard now. I feel like number one hits are so hard now. Because of the Spotify's and iTunes and just so many different platforms to get your music, as were to when George Strait, even Eminem, when they were winning all these like singles and how many recordings and how many albums you sold, like that's back when people were actually buying albums and you were getting views off of that. Now, like I listen to a lot of New Heights, as you know, another podcast, and one of the hosts is married to Taylor Swift, and she just released her album. They said Friday it had the most streams ever in a 24-hour period. And it was like over 1 billion streams on one song in a 24-hour period.
I wouldn't want them. I think her music fucking sucks.
Do you really?
I'm not a fan of it, to be honest.
I don't think it's bad. I don't think her music's terrible.
I listened to it in a while. I remember whenever she used to do that like whiny ass.
Yeah.
Our song was a slam of screen doors. Yeah, like, fuck that shit, bro.
On your window.
And it's like, funny I can just recall that, and, like, I know the song.
Because you
like,
know the song, yeah, because she that famous, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, all her new shit almost. I think she almost, like, I don't know. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I get her confused with, like, Miley Cyrus.
Really?
Yeah, I remember, like, I just got to remember, like, who went through, like, the crackhead phase.
I think, like, as your kids grow up, though, I think that'll change for you. Like, you'll know who they all are just because, like, my wife and daughter, like, always listening to the different singers. And so I'd say I'm a little diversified now when it comes to music in general.
My kids are thugs, bro. They listen to that trap shit.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mine like it now, especially Eminem.
Yeah. My kid's favorite song is Low.
So they got low, that one?
Yeah.
Hey, it's T-Pain.
Yeah, turn around and get that big booty a smack.
You got to take her to the concert.
She hit the flow.
Next thing you know.
Shorty got low. Yeah, nah, she turns up on that shit.
Oh, speaking of which, don't you know, baby, we got to do this intro real quick.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's
right. You know. You take better. Thank you, beautiful ladies and gentlemen, for coming back to visit us. We are pleasured to be back, man. We have got a day full of stuff. I am so happy that it is Tuesday, baby, and we're glad that you're back. My name is Laith Harlow.
I'm Tristan Harlow.
And this is
Relative Nonsense.
Bada 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 bing, I sucked at that one. Hey, my name is Laith Harlow.
My name is Tristan Harlow.
And this is Relative Nonsense. Beautiful, man. Thank y'all guys once again for coming back. We love you. We are glad to be here. And as always, you got to listen to some more of this relative bullshit. You don't have to, but we're glad that you do.
It's a requirement.
It's a requirement?
Yeah.
All right. Y'all heard him. From now on, you have to. Weekly. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
What? So, it's been a while, man. Let me ask you a question. Let me just go into mine. Just so y'all know, we kind of like to always start this thing off by our little weekly updates. It's been a couple weeks since we've seen each other. Like I said, I was down south. So there's a lot to talk about on that end. There's a lot to talk about elsewhere too, man. Do you want to talk about your weekly update first? Weekly update? Yeah. Or do you want me to talk about
it? You go ahead. You got some exciting shit, I guess. I don't know. You got a bunch of notes written down there.
Yeah. I mean, I do it now so that I'm not all over the place more than anything, really. But yeah, sure, I'll go first. So I just want to let y'all know, here's the weekly update, like the big one, right? My little man is a baller. Like, don't get me wrong, he's not the biggest on a soccer team, and he's not the best because it's his first year in soccer, but he's him. Like, it's crazy to see athletically, like, how far and away he is. Like, coaches are always just like, yep. Yeah, hey, pass him the ball. Pass him the ball. Kick, you shoot. No. Don't pass him the ball. Just shoot. I'm like, y'all are almost teaching this man to be selfish just because of how athletic he is. But it's cool to see, you know, like he has that real Harlow gene inside him. I'd say we're all a little athletic.
I'm not, but yeah, you know.
Well, you know, I'd say we're 99% athletic. And then
that's right.
The
that's
one,
right.
You know, there's always the one.
No, I mean, I like soccer and I played. You know, like, honestly, I think you probably ran into this, too. Like, a lot of times I played sports, I was way bigger than everybody else.
Yeah.
So, like, they're like, I want to go play basketball. I have no fucking clue how to play basketball. I still really don't. They're like, oh, shit, you're tall. What you're going to do, you're standing right here in the paint, and your only job is just block people.
Just smack them. They come anywhere near you, smack the ball. If the ball is too far away, smack the human.
Yeah. I was like, so how do I shoot the ball? Oh, you don't worry about that. Yeah, that ain't you. Mm-mm.
Back up. What? Shoot the ball. Who said anything about that?
No, you don't touch that motherfucker. Trust me.
The first rule in basketball is don't ever shoot this basketball, son.
Yeah. So how you play? I just set picks. I don't know. That's how I do.
You know what I'm really good at? Passing.
Yeah, very much.
You was in the wrong sport. You should have been a quarterback, bro.
Well, so like, you know, I'd only done 1 year of high school. You know
right.
what I mean? So like in middle school is where I played most of my sports.
Yeah.
We didn't have a football team. Because we had enough kids, you know what I mean? So, like, we had, but, like, somebody got injured or something like that, and that pretty much took us out. Like, we were, like, right at the requirement, and then he broke his femur, and then we had to drop it. Oh, yeah.
Man.
So, I played soccer, I played baseball, and I played basketball.
What'd you like the most?
Probably baseball.
Baseball?
I got really skinny on soccer. We ran the shit out of us.
I mean, yeah, it's like saying I got skinny by running marathons. You don't say. Like, that's what soccer is. It's just... How long can you run for 90 minutes in a row? It's also a fun sport. I ain't saying like soccer.
No, sucks. I like it.
But I, physically, like as far as running goes, I would say it's one of the toughest there is out there because it's nonstop.
I was extraordinarily better at baseball than I was soccer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think that's just because you have no foreign nationality in you whatsoever?
Probably so. Shit, I don't know. I mean, I think baseball probably originated somewhere else, didn't it? Or no?
I don't know. I think baseball is probably from here. But, like, soccer as a whole, like, if you just look at soccer in America.
Oh,
like,
you mean football.
Correct. Like, we didn't do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, I don't know. I just like baseball just for the sport of it. I like to play. You know, I think it's more, like, I wouldn't say it's more technical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think, if anything, they're equal. But, I don't know. It's just fun. I like it.
Baseball?
Baseball, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I think baseball is more fun to play. It's definitely, like, I'm not saying I love either one of them to watch, but soccer, I think, is more fun to watch just because it's kind of more constant. And baseball, man, like, if you're not playing, there's these lulls in baseball, almost like golf, where you can fall asleep where it's like, the next pitcher, the next, especially if, you know, like for one guy, for your pitcher to have a game where he throws zero or he strikes out everybody, right? Like no hits. That's amazing for that pitcher.
Yeah.
Terrible for TV.
Yeah, it's boring to watch.
Like, who wants to see that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, for sure. But I agree. As far as playing goes, no brainer to me. I always loved baseball more than I loved soccer. But football was my baby, of course.
Yeah.
So, what you got, man? What you been up to?
Been working and driving, you know. All over the state, working and driving. Which been hiring a bunch of new folks there at the company. So, I've been tasked with getting them oriented.
Now, for those of y'all who do not know, once again, Tristan is a safety man for an electrical company. So you have been working. You're not at the house much anymore. You are out of the house, as they would say, for most of your week, right?
Yeah. I'm at my office.
Yeah. So you're at your office during the week, as most people are. But then where you laying your head down at night?
Hotel.
So you're not even in town during the week.
Nah, hell no. I'm like 4 hours away.
4 hours away. Do you like the life on the road?
Well, like I enjoy the work, but like it'd be much better if I was at the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Who like? Nah, I want to get away from my wife and kids.
Well, but as a whole, some people do like that aspect. Not to get away from your wife and kids, right? But let's say... Yeah.
Like the whole traveling and seeing shit and all that.
Traveling and seeing shit. Well, that's fun too. But then not only that, like I think some people like a change of scenery so much. Like, you know, gypsies and things like that. I felt like for a long time, that was definitely me. A lot of us, because we were tramps, man. We went all over the country, tramping all over the country. So... You know, that's kind
of tramping means traveling around to a different job.
Correct. In line form. Sorry, yeah. I didn't really break that down as I should have. But, you know, we did that all the time. So for you, and it's not like you're gone 7 days a week. You're gone Monday through Wednesday. You're not sleeping in your own bed. And then Thursday through Sunday you are. And then Monday you're back. Some people love that aspect of being like, oh, wow, you get to go stay in a hotel for 3 nights where people cook. You know, you ain't got to worry about cooking. People make your bed for you. You just hop up, leave, come back. You know, and then for most of us who have traveled for so long, it's like, yeah, it's not all as pretty as you may think.
Nah, I mean, I think the people's like, oh, man, that's awesome. It's like you only see a hotel whenever you go on vacation. So you think it's fun.
Correct.
Like, it means nothing to me, I'll be honest. Like, I get there. I do not disturb sign, go straight on the door. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want you in there. I'm fine for my 3 days. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need towels. I'm, you know, you give me three. I'm good. Like, yep,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. I pretty much go to the hotel and that's it. That's my night. I watch it on my iPad or something like that, or damn, send out emails. I mean, it's pretty boring, to be honest with you. It's not like I'm out having this extravagant time. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. But, you know, well, I won't say like you could, right? But I think like, let's say you have a business you're in this business and it requires you to travel and go to a bunch of different places, not to the same location, but one week you're in New York Monday through Wednesday, 1 week you're in California Monday through Wednesday, 1 week you're in, it does give you an opportunity for that Monday to Wednesday to, yeah, like as far as the hotel goes, maybe they're a high-end Fortune 500 company, so you get to stay in luxury hotels and have cool views, and so they're okay, but at the end of the day, a hotel is a hotel. But if you are in a bunch of different places, you do get to go sightseeing and see all the different things. You know, you're in Colorado, you get to go see Denver.
So, like, whenever I used to travel around, do trainings, like, across, you know, Florida, the region or whatever. Like, if I stayed somewhere new, I'd go out and check it out, you know. Right. Or, like, if we have another trainer meetup, we'll go out, grab dinner, and like, that kind of shit. Like, whenever we're, one of the most fun things, like, down in Southport on the coast, we go check out all the yachts and shit, like, in the marina. That was always pretty cool.
That's cool.
I go sightseeing, but like I just go, like, our office is a set location, you know what I mean? So it's the same thing every week, you know what I mean? It's like my home away from home. It's not like it's a new place. It's just the same damn place I know. I'll be honest, it's crazy. It's like a lot of times I get the same room.
Oh, for sure. Like, and they know you when you come back, and it's like, hey, you know, every single time when you're there. And that is exactly, there's two parts of it, right? There's the part that most people think of, especially if they don't travel for work. What they see is this extravagant hotels and, oh, nice lavish dinners and, man, getting to go see all these new sites. What usually happens, though, is even if you do go to a different place a lot, there's usually 5 or 10 different places that you go to, and you're still traveling 50 weeks out of the year. So you go to these same places 10 times, and by time 3 or 4, you've seen it all. So it becomes a lot more redundant than the imagination of, wow, this is so cool that I'm always here.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, so now I do get in trouble. There's this like pretty big gun store on the way from the office to the hotel, and I usually stop in there to see what I got.
Yeah.
I guess pretty good deals. But, you know, I'd be buying a lot of stuff up in there, too.
So. Well, and that's the thing about being away from home, too. Like, you know, nobody's there to be like, that's a bad financial decision. You shouldn't do that.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, I'm here. Yeah, I'm working. You ain't got nothing else to do, really, but work. And if you're not working, then you're thinking about spending the money that you're working for while you're there.
I will say, though, I think I'm better than what I used to be. I mean, you remember how it used to be traveling around, especially if you stayed in hotels with the same guys you worked with. It was work all day, go back, shower, and then go hit bars
Bars, go, and then, like, before we would go to the bar, like, we're not just going to hole-in-the-wall bar. We're going to go to 10 different bars, and then we're going to go to a really nice steak dinner before we go out. So we're spending $400 or $500 a night here easily, and we're not even coming home trash. We're coming home still okay to be up for work the next day. When you do work out of town like that, especially with a group of buddies, you tend to lean towards the finer things in life because you have nothing else to do while you're there.
Yeah, you almost get this mentality of like, why wouldn't I spend this money? So correct. I'm here, I'm making it, why not enjoy myself?
And I'll tell you this, I'll tell you what screws a lot of people too, because you make so much more money when you work on the road, but you still have to think about it from a humble perspective. And it's so hard. It's way easier to say that than do that. But man, you'll see guys out there who are making $200,000 a year. And this is no joke. By Monday, we get paid on Friday. By Monday, they're asking you to borrow $100 to get them till Friday. Now, of course, you've got other way worse habits versus going out to the bar and having some steak with your friends and a couple beers at night. I'm not saying that. But still, like, it's a real thing when you're on the road because you're looking for a habit. You're looking for something to keep your mind away from my family's at home, my life is at home, and I'm out here 700 miles away. What do I do? How do I? And then you end up in this trap. Okay, well, let's go blow this money. Now you spend 6 months away from home. You go back home. You can't even provide for your family. You got to get straight back to work, man. So definitely be smart about how you do it. Being on the road can be a lot of fun. But if you let the day-to-day mentality of like, I have nothing to do, so I'm just going to burn my money, I think you can spend a lot more, a lot quicker than you can at your own house.
Yeah, I mean, it's really expensive to work on the road. And that's what nobody talks about. It's like, yeah, you make a shitload of money. It's going to cost you a shitload of money, even if you're not going out being crazy.
Right.
Like, essentially think of like, okay, you leave your house and then you're almost paying for like two households.
You're paying for two of everything. If you have a family, if you're not a single man and you have a family at the house, you're paying for two of everything. Two dinners must be provided, two places to stay must be provided, two of everything.
Yeah.
And I told a lot of people that too. Like, going out on the road and making $150,000 to me is a lot like staying at the house and making $85,000.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Like, I mean, that's like a big pay cut to come to safety. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't really see a difference in lifestyle.
I was about to say, do you live just as comfortable now, less comfortable, or more comfortable than you did while you were traveling 24/7?
I'd probably say just as or more, to be honest with you. But I also am like a lot smarter with money and that kind of thing. But, you know, I do have a lot more expense. I got two kids now. You know what I mean? It was expensive. I mean, I did have one there at the end, but I cut down a lot. Because, I mean, whenever I worked on the road, I had to have a truck. I had to have a camper. You got to pay a lot of rent. You got to pay electric. You got to pay food. Just because you leave the house, I mean, your mortgage stops at the house. 100%. You know what I mean? You got two of everything. Like you said, you got two vehicles, two insurance, two this, two that. I mean, it's insane. And it racks up so fast. And then, you know, you work 6-7 days a week. You get a day off. And it's like, oh, shit, dude, we're right here by something cool. Let's go do that. That's $1,000.
Right. But it doesn't matter to you because you don't get to spend any time with your family. So the time you get, money is not an object anymore. I go work my ass off so far away so that I don't have to fret about money, which is a great thing, but you end up spending all of your damn money because that's what you go work so hard for. So you spend it as you make it. And now when you come home 30, 40 years later, you still feel like you got to go work to actually be able to sit back and relax for your retirement.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I really wanted a boat when I was working on the road. I wanted a boat. And, you know, boats are fucking expensive.
Yes, they are.
Whatever, but I really wanted one. You know, I was like, fucking, how fun would it be have my wife, have my babies out there on a boat, on the water? You know what I mean? The Floridian dream. You know what I mean? You're always like an hour and a half.
Shit, I still want one.
Right. And then I really started thinking about it. I was like, when the fuck would I use it? I work every weekend. I work during the week. You know what I mean? Like, when would I be able to use this boat?
Correct. I'm going to buy this boat to sit in my yard.
Right. And I was like, no, it's fucking dumb.
And that's what happens to so many people, man. You see them. Like, they work their ass off. They've got so many toys. Them toys are 5 years old, still look brand new, and they're collecting dust inside of their barn or garage. Like, because you cannot use them. You have all the money and all the stuff to be sitting in your yard to play with. You just don't have the time to actually play with it. And I'll be honest, like, to find a balance is so damn hard. It's a lot easier to go, well, man, look, you work so hard. You just need to enjoy some of the fruits of your labor. What you don't understand is that man works so hard and has all that stuff. And if he stops working for just a damn week, he won't have none of it no more half the time.
Yeah, I dude, we used to work with guys like that. I work with a guy, you know, like a rain out. So if you guys aren't familiar, we don't really work in the rain. Can't really. It's, you know, starts to become unsafe behavior. Yeah. Right. So we'll rain out, and a rain out, like if it's going to rain, and Florida rains all the fucking time.
Correct.
So like you, it's called tulum per diem. You show up. If you show up on job site, they're required to pay you 2 hours for your travel time and your per diem, which is like your livable wage or your living expense for the day.
Right. Per diem literally means per day. So your per day pay, they owe you that.
Right. So it's tulum per diem, 2 hours pay plus your per diem. Did we get that? Guys would start crying. Like, they can't make their bills by the end of the week.
You'll see them like, I'll do anything, man. This is bullshit. I'm going to have to drag if we ain't going to work. Yeah. It's like, bro, what, are you mad at Mother Nature? Nobody did this. And that, it, just like you said, it's so crazy to see. And it's almost like, I get it. You know, I was definitely that kid once. A lot of these guys who we're talking about are 40 or older, you know, still doing the same exact thing. Thankfully, we're learning quicker than that. But it happens to everybody, you know. But I'll say this, you know, like, fuck keeping up with the Joneses. At the end of the day, man, the best thing you can do, and it's hard to, no matter what, like I sell cars, and selling cars is a whole lot of hours too, stack all your money while you can, save it up, invest, and live a life of not having to work 90 hours a week. Don't just buy every damn thing because you can, man. Save some of it.
Yeah,
you
know? I will say there is a balance there because, like, I work with a guy who's like, don't spend any money. Save everything. That way, you know, whenever you get older, you ain't got to worry about nothing.
Yeah, it's that's like, stupid.
Okay. Why, in my mind, if I can make, you know, $200,000 a year, but I'm not allowed to spend any of it, why the fuck would I make $200,000? I'd rather go flip burgers at damn McDonald's, be at the house, and do what the fuck I want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would 100%. And I'm not saying, I almost think saving your money is stupid. Actually, me and my wife are having a conversation about this. I think saving your money at this time in our life is stupid just because of how fast money is depreciating. And what I mean by that is, like, everybody says, save your money, save your money, save your money. Okay, well, if you save 10 grand a year, average, we're losing about 2% at least per year. So over 10 years, you're going to lose 10,000 out of your 100 grand. You're losing 10% of your money versus you investing and averaging a 2 to 3% return. You can do the opposite and make 10 to 12 grand. That's on the one of the safest things you can invest in is 2 to 4% returns. Now, if you're getting risky, you can get 20 to 40%. But what I say all that to say this, like the way that I feel like we've been taught as far as what you're supposed to do with your money is completely wrong in today's society and economy.
I just be buying shit I like.
Me too. Me too. And like I said, when making $200,000 a year, $100,000 a year, buy what you like. But take $10,000 to $15,000 of that and invest it. Don't put it in the damn bank. Invest it. Because eventually you're going to spend that money in the bank if it's sitting there anyways, especially if you're one of us. If you're investing, you got the possibility to hit something bigger.
Well, like you said, if you're just stockpiling, you're hoarding cash, you're losing. You know what I mean?
Hand over fist. Yeah. You're losing constantly. Speaking of that, we're on this workflow thing. I want to bring up something. I want to ask you a question just to pose something for you here. I had my mind scrambled, so I wanted to see what you thought about it. So how far is too far when you're filling out a resume, right? And what I mean for that, for instance, right, we build power lines. So I think saying that I helped engineer electrical infrastructure with Alexander Graham Bell is probably outstepping my qualifications. Did I build power lines? Yes. Did I help the inventor of electricity to decide how to build power lines? No. I definitely think you can go too short with this too, right? Like if you were an engineer, to say that I put cars together probably doesn't describe your exact qualifications and how much you can do and how many other realms that you can touch. What is too much and what is too little? And what do most people do?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny. I saw this shit on TikTok. That was this guy said, I'm an underwater ceramics technician, and he was a dishwasher. You know what I
mean? Exactly. Like, you're way overstepping your boundaries. Yeah. One of the things that I saw, too, was this guy's like a, oh, I'm an hors d'oeuvre concierge for one of the highest S&P 500 companies in America. He worked for Uber Eats. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so there's that side of it. And then, like I said, I think there's also guys who are, you know, guys who are damn linemen. Who were like, what do? I just make sure, you know, when you flick your lights on, they work.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not in depth at all. What does that mean?
I don't know. I think it's a little bit easier to church things up, like to a certain extent, like a truck driver. So saying, hey, man, I'm a truck driver. I'm a logistical coordinator. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, something like that. Just make it sound a little more professional. I mean, I will say that's like played a part in my life now that I'm still trying to learn the professional side of things because, you know, line work is, it doesn't matter how professional you are. We cuss and, you know, whatever all day long. It just matters on how productive are you. Can you do your job right? And I don't care about the rest. You know what I mean?
I don't care about the rest. I think the, you know, the exact qualifications and the certificates that people are looking for. And I think that's kind of a thing of the past. And instead of all of that, they just want to know the experience and the amount you have. And if you were able to elaborate it on a scale that is not that you're a dummy, but also not that you should be the owner of the company, somewhere kind of in the middle of that, you can, I don't want to say fake it till you make it, right? But you can definitely earn your max potential while you still might be learning instead of having, you know, mastered the background that you're going into. You know, for instance, sales. Maybe you don't have any sales experience, but you know, you've grown up, everything you've done in your whole life, in my mind, is sales, man. When you got your first job, it was sales. You had to sell yourself to tell that company why you were worth hiring in the first place. I think with everything you do, if you've ever got out of a ticket, if you've ever gotten a chance to retake a test from a teacher, you sold the reason why that you should have that availability. So I think that you going out trying to get a job like that and say, oh, I have no background experience. Well, I think then people look at you and go, oh, man, well, you know, well, we probably don't need this guy. As to where if you're like, well, and you take these experiences that you've had in your life and say, well, I've had experience with this company and this company and this company. They can see that on the paper and go, damn, this guy's pretty skilled. I mean, he ain't sold maybe cars, you know, but he's sold things his entire life. Look on his resume. This dude's 20 years old with 20 years of experience. Let's give him a shot.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That is a tough subject. You know?
Yeah, it's tough, and like it's hard to find that line of like, because I do think that there is also way too many people now who are in positions they have no business being in.
No.
You know, and I think that's because you use fucking AI and this and that, and they write you the best resume that's ever been stroked on a piece of paper before, and now all you have to do is hit send. You don't even have to have the imagination to build one yourself.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I remember like I had to turn in a resume for this job. I'm like, no, it's fucking dumb. Either you're gonna hire me or not. I'm not like, you know who I am. Correct. You know what I'm about. Either you fucking want me or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, but.
And they hired you.
They did. But like I said, I also knew these people personally and that kind of thing. Like, you knew them personally? I guess professionally because I worked with them in the past and that kind of thing. But like, it's, what the fuck am I putting out a resume for?
And I agree with that. Okay. But let's say you're, let's take a hypothetical. I got a bunch of hypotheticals to talk about today. Let's take a hypothetical and say that maybe someone worked at a place where his boss probably didn't have the same amount of experience that he had in his field. Right. Now his boss, after a while, you got to be with this guy for, I don't know, at least a year to 2 years to really find out whether he knows what he said he knows or he doesn't. Slowly, these cracks will start cracking. But the whole time, you are under him, right? You have no experience, and you're making $50,000 less than him. Y'all have the same amount of experience when you start. But now, just because you're smarter, not because you have more experience, now you are leaps and bounds ahead of this guy who is not outperforming you by any means, but's making more money than you. Now he's probably going to be on the chopping block, but he had 2 years to get there. If he didn't suck at his job and couldn't figure it out after 2 years, and he had 2 years to basically learn in this position, and it was somebody who had the smarts like you, hell, you'd be the man right now. So it's hard to tell somebody like, you know, you don't want to put too much on that resume and then you know, because you want to get your max potential. You also don't want to get put in a position where quickly everybody sees that you lied and you need to get the hell out of there quickly. And now you can't even put this place as a place that you've worked for on a job because they're going to tell them do not hire you.
You know, this is an unpopular opinion. I feel like managers don't need to know how to do the job.
You know, I feel like doers do, you know, like people, there's people who actually get shit done and then the people who don't, they manage. And the people who do end up being your guys who they don't call managers, who are just like your workers, right? Your laborers. Or as a salesman, it happened to me a lot. And I became a manager and I'm going back as just a salesman because here's kind of how it works, right? Like you get in this position, you do this hard ass work, right? And you build this platform and experience and skill set. And then when it goes time to step into management, in your mind, as a person who's worked to get to management, you go, okay, I'm going to step in here so that I'm able to make a change and make streamlined processes, make it easier for my guys, and make myself a lot more money. And what you get, what you realize when you get into a place, especially if you don't own it and maybe y'all don't see the same values, is that your job is not to change like you thought you were going to be able to. It's just to push the same bullshit motives of the things that you were trying to change to get into management in general. And I think a lot of those guys, one, they were just doing whatever they could to get into management. So they're fine to push whatever bullshit agenda, whether it helps or hurts your business, doesn't matter to them because they're making that paycheck every month. And then there's the other hand of guys who get in that position and realize this is bullshit. Y'all don't want me to make a change. Y'all want me to shut up and just do what y'all tell me to do. I'm no more of a manager. I'd say I have less authority than I did with more responsibility. I might be making a little bit more money, but I can't do shit about it. You can have it. I don't want your position.
See, I don't know. I think that's just a bad work environment because, like, our environment's not that way whatsoever.
And that's cool. Yeah, I can see that.
Like, my manager, she values our input. But what I mean by, like, I don't think that a manager necessarily needs to know how to do the job is, like, okay, I think that good managers, they know how to manage people. They don't have to know how to do whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I don't need to know how to flip the burgers. But I know, like, old Johnny, that bitch can flip them good. So I'm put him as a fucking burger flipper. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you manage your people well to get the outcome that you're looking for?
And I like that. I like that. And we've talked about this before. I love people. And this wasn't the most recent place I've been at. I've been a manager a couple of times. So I won't say what in particular or where in particular. I will just say the specific time that I'm talking about, kind of how it worked out and what made me go, yeah, I'm good on all that, is when you're in sales is kind of a different tactic, right? And you can be a great person in sales who has a good mindset of still taking care of people and still making good money, or you can be a piece of shit human who wants to take as much advantage of people as you can. And we're sitting in here talking about it, and it was like, with a lot of these guys, they're not going to make it. So basically, we just want to get as many deals out of as we can before we throw them to the wolves and kick them out. So we'll sell all their family, make all the money off of them, and get them out the door. And like, to me, like, you can't talk to that guy. You can't go in there and go, oh, this is what I'm thinking, man. And, you know, I want to help the people. I want to help our sales guys. I want to make sure that we can, you know, make X, Y, and Z for everybody here, because when everybody eats, we all make more money as a company, which puts more money in everybody's pockets. That guy doesn't want to hear that shit because he doesn't believe in that. So you really, like, in your situation where they value opinion and da-da-da-da-da, sometimes when you hear how somebody's thought process is, you're not even allowed to put your opinion in there because that shit would get shut down. So you realize you're in a room you shouldn't be in, almost.
Well, I feel like that person that you're talking about shouldn't have been in that position to start with. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Sure.
I completely understand what you're saying.
But it's hard because...
That person's not a good manager.
No, that person's not a good manager, but there are so many of them.
I agree.
There's a bunch. I think it's hard. You know, it's hard to get over that.
A lot of people say you don't quit your job, you quit your manager.
You know, I agree with that 100%. And same thing as, like, you know, growing up, like, the best student is because of the teacher, right? So that when teachers are like, hey, this,
you know,
I think so to a degree. There's just piece of shit people in general who, you know, you can't help. No, you can lead a horse to water. Yeah. But in general, I do think, like, if there's a teacher who's like, this kid just will not listen, I don't know, you might need to take a look in the mirror. You know, because everybody doesn't learn the same way.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of it's personality conflicts. We do that shit on the crew all the time. You know, we get like a newer kid in, or apprentice, and they hate him on this one crew. So what we'll do, we'll try to bounce around to a different crew. If it's, if the next crew hates him, then we know it's not really a personality conflict. It's correct, probably him. But, yep, you know, at least give him the chance to give him somewhere else instead of just booting him out the fucking door.
I like that, because you'll find, like, not everybody clicks with everybody. I'm not... Yeah. You know, I love to get along with everybody, but it doesn't always happen.
Especially my personality, not in a work environment.
No, you get aggravated at people so quickly. Like, especially there's when you work, there's a certain way that you like to do things. And the guys who do things like you, y'all tend to get along. The guys who don't, doesn't mean that they're doing it wrong, just that they do it different. You tend to, they work on that crew, I work on this crew. You know
exactly
what I mean?
That, and that's fine.
Yeah, that that's mean completely that fine.
They're like a horrible person or like, you know what I mean? I just, we don't work well together.
Correct.
Not that he's a bad person or a bad person. We hate each other. We just don't work well together. That's 100%. What it is. You know 100%. What I mean? Like, I don't know if you guys ever, like, I love my wife to death, but us doing projects together, whew,
the worst.
I ain't never been so close to domestic violence before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, but there's always that thing, right? Like, your thing is y'all trying to build something together. My thing with her, we could build anything together all day and night. Let us get in the kitchen to try and cook together, though. Hell no. Ain't never going to happen.
Yeah.
My job is to stay the hell away from that kitchen when she's in there. Same as me. I take my ass out to the grill. If I can do anything, it'll be cooking on the grill. If she's cooking the meat, I just stay my ass away and try and entertain the kids. Because, like, yeah, in there, we belong in fights, apparently, and there's too many knives that she can get a hold of before I can get away from her. So... And I'm good at pissing people off. Don't get it wrong. I ain't sitting here saying that I'm perfect and, you know, she ain't the nicest in the kitchen by any means. But you kind of, you always know your boundaries. You know what I mean? You know where to pop your head in and be like, let me help. And you know where to stay the hell back from, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I will say when I work, I get hot-headed quick. Like fucking slinging wrenches across the shop and shit. Oh, yeah.
I do, too. I do, too. Yeah, I'm definitely a... I'm short-tempered. Yeah, I'm short-tempered. When I'm trying to do something, I think it should go this way. If it doesn't go this way, I think that the thing that I'm building is wrong, not me, kind of deal.
Bro, I saw this shit on TikTok. It was called, like, Average Dad Crash Outs.
Yeah.
And I was watching it. I thought it was funny because they're, like, they're freaking out over the smallest shit. I'm like, ah, that's so funny, that sort of thing. And I was like, damn, bro, that's me. Fucking, I geek out on, like, the smallest inconvenience in my life. I will flip the fuck out. Like,
I did, too. I do too. I don't mean to do it.
I don't mean to do it either.
I'm not out here just trying to be a bad individual.
Yeah.
You know, but my mind gets the best of me sometimes, you know, and I think it happens to me a lot quicker than some other people in life. You know, some people have just unbreakable tempers. Like, it's just like they always stay even keel. Yeah, I'm not that guy.
I can't trust those people, bro.
Me either. They're serial killers,
yeah,
all of them.
I think like like, yeah, you'll never lose your shit. You're probably just coming here one day and shoot up the place.
You correct. Know?
Like, yeah, eventually it's going to break, bro.
You always want to stay on that guy's side. Yeah. Okay, let's not get it twisted. You always want to stay on that guy's side.
Yeah, like, just because I freak out every day over stupid shit, I think I'm more sane. I can express my emotion. You know what I mean? Like, the guy that can't do it, he scares me.
He scares me.
Yeah.
Dude. Oh, my goodness. I am not supposed to talk about this. Apparently. I don't know why. But I'm, fuck it, we're going to talk about it. Hypothetically speaking, let's say that one of your son's best friend's dad was addicted to substances. And not just any substance. We're not talking about marijuana or alcohol here. We're talking about crack.
Semen. Oh.
Yeah, I wish. Crack. Yeah, not fucking, you know, alcohol once again. Hell, not even cocaine. Good old crack. Do you say something or do you not? Not to mention, it's not like you would never cross paths if, you know, hypothetically, right? It was your, you know, son's best friend's dad. You'd have to cross paths with him kind of consistently, right? Would you say anything if you were around him? Would you be like, yo, bro, like if he just tries to make small talk, hey, Tristan, how you doing? How's you? Oh, yeah, your son, my son, they're best friends, man. Is that crazy? Da, da, da. Would you be like, yeah, don't fucking talk to me, crackhead motherfucker. And matter of fact, don't get around my kid. Or would you try and keep that away from your son and away from, you know, like it's a tough situation.
That is. It is.
Because you don't want to make it a big scene, right, to where now your son is like, what's going on? Now you have to explain to your son that, you know, hey, I know you like that kid, but his dad, da da da. Now, you know, like I said, it's just hypothetical. It's just my mind thinks of crazy things, and I just had to know what you would do.
See, I don't know. That's hard because I've worked around guys that have been addicted to shit. They're the nice people in the world. You know what I mean?
Crack.
I'd probably say shit worse than that.
Well, hell, what is worse than crack?
Heroin, meth.
I don't know if those are worse. I'd say they're on the same. I'd say they're the same like line. I'd say like worse than crack is like fentanyl.
Well, I don't think those people live very long.
I'm just saying, like, that's worse than crack in my mind.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with the crack.
I'd say heroin, meth. I'd say those are all kind of the same line.
Oh, I definitely would want. I would never let my kid go over there. No. And like, he probably wouldn't be hanging out with his kid outside of like school.
Right. Or like, what if? I'm trying to think of something that they would have to like intertwine with.
Well, like, damn, like sports teams or...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like sports. Like, so what if they're on the same team or some shit like that? Now you have to be around the guy, right? Like you said, school.
Is the guy there?
Sure, let's say he's there.
That's a dedicated crackhead, bro.
It is a dedicated crackhead. Like, let's say the mom's there too.
What does the mom think about it? Or has the mom never said anything about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the mom said plenty about it. Like, you know what I mean? This is my theory. Like, in my mind, like, the mom, obviously, if the mom knows that the dad does crack, the mom probably doesn't like the dad. And if you're friend with the mom's side as well, I wouldn't say as well, because you're probably not friends with the dad's side, clearly. But if you're friends with the mom's side and she said something like that,
Is he not welcome there? That's the main thing. Like, is mom cool with him being there?
Not really. Like, it's awkward.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough, bro. I don't know. I never put in that situation.
Yeah. It's tough. Like,
me personally, I'd be like, nah, you know, you
back keep it up.
Fucking distance, bro. Like, I don't.
That's me too. And like, once again, you would think that you try not to say anything, but there's only so much that you're going to try not to say before it's like, here's an idea. Back up, dog, because I don't want you nowhere near me.
Yeah, especially like if he's coming up to you trying to make small talk and shit like that. Like,
correct.
Like, I don't fuck with that. You need to back up.
Like, yeah. Because I'm not the kind of person who's going to be fake around you. If I don't like you, I'm just going to let you know I don't fucking like you.
It's a different story. Like I said, I work with guys. You do you, bro. Whatever. I don't deal with that shit. But like, whenever you start bringing my kids into it, it's a whole different fucking matter.
And that is what I mean. I have nothing against a drug addict. I've been a drug addict. We've talked about that before. Like, I'm not saying that it's wrong. But I am saying that even when I was going through my phases of drugs, I would not have been upset with an individual if they were like, hey, man, I don't want you around my fucking kids. You're going through something. Yeah. You know what? That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even like drunk people around my kids. You know what I mean?
Me either. As a matter of fact, I kind of make it a point to when I'm at parties, I do not like parties like family parties. Like, we have a family party over here. Yeah. I make it a point to not drink the whole time that I'm around my kids, or like most of the time at parties, I won't drink around them at all because I don't want them associating, oh, they're having a good time. That means they're drinking. I think that's stupid. You don't have to have any kind of alcohol or drugs or anything to have a good time.
No, but does a great time. Does it make it
better? Yeah. Like, no, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's a rough one, Doug.
That's a rough one.
That's rough.
It's a rough one. It's just a little hypothetical that crossed my mind that I just couldn't get out of my noggin.
I don't know. Really get me pondering over here.
I know. I see you thinking over there. It is because it's a tough one. It's like, what do you do? Like, you're kind of damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, right? If you say something, well, then you're the asshole who said something and you caused a scene when there was no need to cause a scene because he didn't walk up to y'all fucked up on crack and go, hey, I'm the crackhead dad. You want to smoke some in the back of my car with me? Like, that didn't happen, right? So for you to just be like, you know, him to be like, hey, how you doing? I'm so-and-so's father, and you'd be like, yeah, that's great. Back up, you fucking crackhead. Seems a little disrespectful.
I'd be like, hey, bro, you smoke crack? That's what I heard. I don't want the shit around my kids. And they'll see how I went.
I like that. It's kind of, yeah, you nip it in the bud right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm so-and-so. Hey, man, I heard you were a fucking crackhead.
What if you're at a bench full of people when he...
Give a fuck? Give a fuck, we're in the middle of court.
I respect the shit out of that.
In the middle of damn church pews. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I want to know.
I want to know.
And I want
to
know.
It has
now.
To do with my kids, bro. I would be doing an injustice to my children if I allowed that kind of shit to be around them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, yes. I understand he ain't smoking crack right down on the benches.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm torn there. Because but in the same sense. Not to let him go anywhere with a kid.
You know, motherfucker, if you give him an inch, take a mile.
Yeah, always.
So, yeah, he might be cool now. And then you're going to start showing up fucked up.
Yeah, who knows?
And then, like, oh, well, nobody care about that either. So now we're just going to take it a step further. Like, nah, we'll snip it right here in the bud.
Right here in the
bud.
You
know exactly where the fuck I stand. That way, if there ever is a problem, it ain't like, whoa, man, you've never been like this.
You just knocked my tooth out for no reason. Nah, bitch, I told you a long fucking time ago this was coming if
What's
you kept coming
around.
What's
going on with around. You, brother? No, like, nah, you know you fucked up.
I'm going to tell you what's wrong with me. Yeah. Pow, bitch, you crackhead motherfucker.
You knew I didn't like that, and you chose to fucking do it anyway. So now you can choose to live with these consequences.
Right. And now I'm choosing violence.
Yeah, exactly.
So, look, I want to wrap this up. We've had a good time. But I do want to wrap this up. I gotta say a little outro about something. On a couple podcasts ago, we were talking about telling our kids, or when you tell your kids, about the holiday creatures, you know, for lack of better terms, you know, whether that be Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or whatever. And me being a hard ass, I was like, you know what? I'm getting this shit out the way now. I'm gonna get this done. So we took our kids to Spirit Halloween and, I told my wife to take my little man. I was going to take my princess. She's the older one. So I was going to let her know what it is. Today was the day. She was going to find out Santa was not real. So I took her. We're walking around. She found her little costume. She's like, Daddy, what you think about this one? I'm like, oh, that's pretty, girl. So somehow I find my own way to get to this subject. And I'm like, so do you and your friends ever talk about Christmas? And she looks at me like, what? And she's like, sometimes. And I'm like, cool. Well, when you're talking about Christmas, does Santa ever get brought up? And she's like, I think so. And I'm like, Well, let me ask you a question. Do your friends think Santa's real? She's like, I don't know. And I was like, do you think Santa's real? And she goes, yeah. And I said, and that's great, baby girl. So do I. Like, the way she said yeah to me, I was like, oh, hell no. I will not be the one. She going to be like, she going to come home and be like, Daddy Santa's not real. And I'm going to be like, that's bullshit. Who told you that? We going to fuck that kid up right now. He lied to you and me. Who ain't real?
You'd be scrambling on the phone trying to find a Santa Claus lookalike.
I'm calling everybody. Yeah. I'm like, ain't no damn way Santa Claus. He brings me all my presents. You going to tell me he ain't real?
Hey, man. December 25th, I'll pay you $400 if you sit in my living room.
Yeah, I'm going down with it. I ain't fuck that shit. Every year from now on, I'm dressing up as Santa before I bring these Christmas presents in case they're awake and accidentally see the shit.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I gotta ride till I die now. Ain't gonna happen. I ain't hurt my fucking kids. Fuck that. Y'all are a piece of shit parents, whoever tells their kids that Santa ain't real. I don't know who does that. I ain't specifically talking about, I am. Fuck that shit. That is ruthless. I don't know how y'all do that. I tried that shit. Ain't for me. I'm a big ass man, and I'll cry like a little bitch if I ever got to do anything near that again. It fucked me up just acting like I was gonna tell her.
But
I got tears rolling down my eyes right now. I'm scarred.
Would you rather her hear it from you or from her friends?
Her friends. Fuck that. That part, the Santa part. Yeah, your friends all day. Tell them about that shit. We talking about something serious in life that can actually affect you. I'll tell you that Santa Claus. Yeah, fuck that. Your friend gonna have to tell you about Santa Claus. That motherfucker real shit to me, too.
What is she, like, listening at the door right now? She heard it.
I'll jump out this window. I was never in here. I don't know what she's talking about.
I'm running away right now. I ain't never come back.
Right now. Yeah. I'll fly back here with my fucking reindeer, Santa Claus.
Damn. I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought whenever you started the situation, like, your friends ever talk about Christmas? You're like, sometimes. I thought you'd be like, well, Santa ain't real.
I tried. I was working my way there. And then, like, her answer, like, I could just hear it in her voice. And I can't portray it on this microphone how she did it, but you could just hear, like, the choked upness coming in the responses that she was giving me. And I was just like, hell no.
So it just stopped right there? She was like, why you ask?
She didn't.
Hmm.
I was even more confused about that part because now I
feel think that she knows, but she wants to keep it going for you.
No, I don't think so.
Really? Because I knew for a long time, her mom ever told me, but I always just said, yeah, just because I knew that she loved it.
She's a bad liar.
Okay.
Yeah, real bad. She'll
real bad.
Like, she tells on herself so she don't have to laugh. She'll run out there and be like, I'm crying because I hit Luca in the face. He didn't do nothing wrong. I know I'm going to get in trouble, but that's why I'm crying. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You almost can't even be mad at that. But she is terrible at lying. So, yeah, no, I think she would have said something. And she did. She dropped it right away. I was like, oh, and that's great, baby girl. I feel the same exact way. That's why I love you. And then she was like, so what do you think about this costume over here? And I was like, oh, that one looks great too. I think that one's beautiful. And
I get
like,
both of them. Shit.
Yeah, like I'll buy you whatever. I'll buy you the whole damn store right now. Yeah, so I was very vulnerable at that point too. But like I did, I felt awkward as shit after I had that conversation. Because then I'm like, man, she's got to know something. She's got to know something's wrong. Just the way that I asked, the way that it went. Because you don't think it's a problem while you're in the moment. You're like, I'm getting somewhere. She's going to understand why I asked. Then you don't get there and you're like, she's got to be thinking I'm a fucking psycho. Like,
yeah.
Speaking of drugs, like she had to think that I was on those during that conversation. Ain't no way she was like, well, yeah, that was normal. No, no, it wasn't.
Bro, you know who's a bad liar? My wife.
Yeah.
Love her to death. Can't lie to save her life.
I don't either. I tell the truth right away because.
She thinks she's funny.
I joke around. Now I'll get you when I'm joking around.
No, like she tries, but she be like smiling and shit.
Poker face is on zero. Horrible. Has none.
Absolutely. Do not play poker with her.
Yeah.
Or actually really do
play really poker do with her. Like, yeah, you could lose your whole house if she plays.
Yeah, I know. That's horrible.
That's hilarious.
Or like sometimes she'd be getting mad. She'd be like, I ain't mad. I'm like, bro, I've been with you for like 8-9 years at this point. I know you.
That's the biggest lie women tell, though.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, I don't wake up next to you every day for the last 11 years. You're not going to tell me nothing.
Yeah, she'd be getting around me and be like, like, damn, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing at all.
What do you mean?
Yeah. I'm like, you're aggravated. Why? I wasn't mad till you called me mad. Now I'm fucking mad. Like,
I wouldn't have ever been mad had it not been for you calling me mad.
Right. Like,
no, I don't know why you're raising your voice. I think you were mad from the beginning. That's why I asked something about it. Yeah. Are you hungry? Crazy. Yeah, I'm hungry. What you want to eat? I don't care. All right, cool. Let's get burgers. No. All right. We'll do sushi. Uh-uh. We'll do Mexican. I'm not feeling that. How about pasta? No, I don't want that at all. What do you want? I want a Philly cheesesteak from Jersey Mike's. Can I get it with bacon? Okay, so you're hungry and you know exactly what the fuck you want. Why do we have to go, I don't know what I want? I'm not going to say I don't want that. I'm fat. I'll eat fucking anything you say. Just say it. Just spit it out. I got it. Sure, let's go.
I don't, I'm that way too, though.
You're a picky little bitch. I know this just happened because you were like, I'm hungry. I'll eat anything. And I was like, cool. Wendy's is 3 feet from my house. And you were like, Wendy's? Oh, God.
That's like the one place I don't really fuck with.
Of course. Yeah, says all women as well. If you'd have said anything else.
Like, honestly, like anything around your house, Wendy's is the one thing I don't really.
I will say, I'll say this. The second thing I said, you said yes. Yeah. So that was, I'll give you that.
Yeah, Wendy's just ain't really my shit.
I know, honestly. I know. I just had to give you hell because it just worked out in my favor for this argument.
Do you like Wendy's like that?
So not I like their burgers a lot more than McDonald's burgers. Like Wendy's, I don't like their fries.
I'm always a chicken tender or chicken nugget motherfucker. You know what I mean?
So yeah, like, their chicken nuggets I don't love, but I'll tell you what, I love their fucking barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce with their chicken nuggets, I'll eat. Like so, their biggie bag I fuck with because I like their burgers.
I used to get that all the time. That little it was the fo-fo-fo.
Fo-fo-fo. Now the biggie bag is $2 more, but you get faux nuggets, you get fries, you get a junior bacon cheeseburger, which is my favorite burger. That's the burger I get every time I go anyways, even if I don't get the biggie bag and a drink. But even if I don't get the biggie bag.
Oh, shit, so it's a 4-for-4. They just call it a biggie bag now.
No, it's a 6. It's a 4-for-6 now. It's $6. It used to be $4 for $4.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was the 4-for-4.
That's what I'm saying, motherfucker. Now $6. Yes, now it's the biggie bag.
You just try to say, oh, no, the biggie bag got all this shit in it.
No, I'm saying the same thing as the 4-for-4. The biggie bag, it's called the biggie bag because it's $6. It's the same four things, but it's called the biggie bag because it's $6.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
They just changed the name.
It ain't a biggie bag. It's still the 4-for-4. But now it's the 4-for-6. That's all it is.
4-for-6 biggie bag. And guys, guess what else I like? I like every one of you, baby. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Relative Nonsense, where we come on here and try and give you just a little piece of our wisdom, which is so stupid. But we're glad that you continue to listen. Happy Tuesday, baby. Don't drink and drive. And if you do, do it real fast. We love y'all. Good night.
Bye-bye.
And this podcast is brought to you by Sticks.